good to see everyone. Thank you for the opportunity to speak in front of you all this afternoon. So just hang with me and we'll get through this together, okay? I'd like to talk to you about something this afternoon that each and every one face in our life at certain times, and certainly every day, I guess we do face things that that we're going to talk about this evening. I'd like to talk tonight about distractions. There's so many things in this world today. I don't know if the society, there's ever been a society has been distracted as ours. There are so many distractions offered to us in the world today that there's ever been before. And we see that in all aspects of our life, how sometimes we over-glorify distractions. We tend to think maybe it's multitasking. We tend to think, see how many things we can do at once. And that's okay maybe in the job, in the realm of your employment, or maybe in school too. But you know, I got to thinking about that, and there's one thing that we, each and every one of us, are preached about and taught about, distraction. It's distracted driving. I know as I was raising my children, helping to raise my children, I guess, to teach them to drive, one thing that I did was I made sure that I told them as we were learning to make sure you keep your eyes on the road at all times. Make sure you're not texting. Make sure you're not checking social media and doing things like that. And you know what's amazing? When you ride down the road, oftentimes, do you ever look around people and see what they're doing in their cars around you? You'll often see people taking selfies. You'll see people that are changing clothes in the car. Of course, you'll see people that are texting, taking pictures. And you often see, as car accidents happen, a lot of times you'll see that people are actually watching movies or watching videos as they're riding down the road too. And I guess I'm not really one to talk about this much, because if you would like to hear my horror stories, ask Ryan sometime about some of the interesting conversations we have riding down the road, because I'm the worst multitasker in the world. I can be dialing on the phone, picking my iPod, and then trying to listen to Ryan's stories as I'm riding down the road as well, but it doesn't always go well. But there's a couple of stats I want to share with you about distracted driving. So there's 1,000 people injured daily in distracted driving incidents. There's over 4,000 fatalities a year from distracted driving. And so as I was thinking about that, I got to thinking about how does that apply to us? And how does that apply to spiritual distractions in our lives? You know, as we think about distracted driving, we think about you often end up in a ditch. Sometimes you're so distracted you actually lost, you don't even know where you're going. And so I think that's very applicable to our spiritual lives as well, because if we're distracted by things of the world, before we know it, we'll end up in a ditch or in a rut, maybe. Or as Paul talked about, we may make shipwrecks of our faith, such as some people that did. So what I'd like to do with tonight, I'd like to share a few examples of distractions that each and every one face in our lives, and maybe how we can overcome those things, and also maybe see some examples in the Bible that God has given us of people being distracted as well. First of all, let me start out by defining distraction. Distraction is described as anything that prevents you from giving full attention to something else, or for this afternoon's purposes, taking your attention from something of greater importance to something of lesser importance. So in our spiritual lives, what is more important than being focused on God, paying full attention to God? There's nothing else. So how do we get distracted? Well, there's lots of things that distract us in our lives. Life pulls us in many directions. Are you all familiar with the years ago, I guess in the mid-centuries, I guess, when the French would tie up a person to four horses to execute them, you know, an arm with one horse, a leg with one horse? Or, that's actually called distraction. That's actually what the French called it. And so you think about in our lives, how many ways are we pulled in different directions by things that happen to us, in our spiritual lives especially? For many of you, it may be your job. I know jobs are important to us. We have to provide a living for our families, for ourselves, as God has told us to do. But how many times do you spend time at home working on things with your job, your employment, rather than spending time studying or focusing on things that the Lord would have you do? Or there's times, I understand there's times we have to miss services for our jobs as well, but how often do you put your jobs above your service or your studies especially? Quite often. Something else that each and every one's face in our lives that are distracting is our family issues as well. we may spend, our families are important to us as well, I know that. But our Christian families, our brothers and sisters in Christ are awfully important too. There's so many things in our lives, I'm sure that each and every one of us experienced strife in our family that can be very distracting to one another. It can take our focus off of the good things, what we need to be focused on, rather than the strife. And I'm sure each and every one of you experienced that at some form in your life or at some point. And family strife is no fun at all. And we often find that in our family situation, we're often trying to fix things ourselves rather than turn to God first. We're so caught up in trying to solve problems that maybe a member of our family has that we don't go to God first with those things. And so, again, those can be very distracting. And for me, myself, recently, I've been, and I'm sure Eva has experienced this as well, recently with her father. When you're having a family member that has health problems or near the end of their life, it can be very distracting to you. And I'll be honest with you, I have been, haven't been where I need to be spiritually in the past few months because I have been so caught up in what's going on with my situation with my father. And I haven't turned that over to God. I have worried and thought about it, and it's kind of a, it's had me captivated the whole time. That's all I think about a lot. And my focus has been taken off of where it should be, which is God. Another thing that distracts us in our lives is, of course, we know our phones. Our phones are the most distracting thing, I guess, we face today in our lives. It says Americans check their phones every 4.3 minutes. So that means you're going to check your phone about maybe 3 or 4 times while I'm up here tonight. Feel free to. That equals out to 81,500 times a year. 81,500 times a year you check our phones. That's crazy. It's hard to even have a conversation with somebody without them checking their phone. It's hard to even have a family meal without someone checking their phone. It's the biggest distraction of the day, without a doubt. Another distraction we have is the internet. And the internet offers some good things, and it does. But just says the average person, and I don't know if this is true for you all, so the average person sits 6 hours and 31 minutes a day online. The internet's replaced TV as the biggest distraction in the home. TVs are, people don't watch TV as much as they used to. Now they spend time online. But there's good things about it as well. I spend a lot of my time when I do study. I use Google quite a bit for study, and you can find a lot of interesting things on there. But if you're like me, you have a short attention span when you get on the internet. I can be studying on Peter. But then all of a sudden, did you know that squirrels are the leading cause of power outages in the United States today? That's true. So that's where we end up. We get distracted by things, trivial things, rather than the things of substance that matter. You get the picture. Even in our prayer lives, we become distracted. Don't need a show of hands, but how many people have fell asleep during your prayer in the middle of the night, before you go to bed at night? How many of you have started a prayer never to finish it? Start thinking about something else. I'm as guilty as anyone of doing that. I will start thinking about something else and my mind is completely gone away from the things that I should have been praying about and thinking about. I think you get the picture though, what I'm talking about here. So as we have these things in our life to distract us, how do we go about keeping from distracted? What's the solution to these things? Well, there's a few incidents that I'd like to share, a few examples, excuse me, of people being distracted and not paying full attention to where they're going or what they're doing. Turn with me over to Matthew 14. Matthew 14. I know this story is familiar to each and every one of you. The story of Jesus walking on the water, and he calls Peter out to walk in. And I know this is, again, y'all familiar with this story so well, but I think it's very pertinent to what I'm talking about tonight. In Matthew 14, verse 23, says Jesus, after he had sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat was already a long distance from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter said to him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And he said, come. And Peter came out, got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became frightened and began to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind stopped. You notice what happened in verse 30 here? Peter got distracted by the wind. He was doing okay until he took his eyes off of Jesus. And Jesus had invited him to come, just like Jesus invites each and every one of us to come to him. But so often, as we're in our walk, we turn the other way, we look the other way, then all of a sudden, we become distracted. We've lost our way. I often equate it to riding down the road. And if you're riding down the interstate and you're a good long stretch of the interstate and you're driving along and you see a water tower, say over to your right, and you're driving along and you just happen to be fixing your gaze on this water tower, before you know it, your car is headed in that direction as well. You automatically pulls you right over with it. And it's the same thing with our Christian lives. When we take our eyes off of Jesus and put our attention somewhere else, most of the times we end up heading there. One of the things that we often become enamored with and we think about is our past. I know sometimes our past can be a stumbling block to us, and we can often think about things we did in the past that kind of bring us down. But sometimes, and there's even an incident back in Numbers 14, if you'll turn there with me real quick. Numbers 14, we're going to see a case of somebody that was looking too much in the past, but here's what happened to them. Sometimes your past can become, it may seem enticing how it used to be. You kind of think that, yeah, that was the good way of life. Maybe I should, you know, it doesn't seem too bad now. Let me find a number. I apologize, I'm sorry. It's not Numbers 14, but what happened was, I'm sorry. They had become so enamored with thinking about Egypt, they had thought that Egypt was now the milk land of milk and honey. They had come out of Egypt. God had promised them that the future lied in the promised land, and that was the land of milk and honey. But they, in turn, thought that Egypt was the land of milk and honey. And so it's often how they, you can turn back to your past and look at your past, and you can kind of have a distorted view of what it used to be. It was really a bad place, but in your mind, if you concentrate and think about it and you constantly dwell on it, soon it's not as bad as you thought it was, or as it seems to be, actually, I'm sorry. But no, it's not the land of milk and honey. You don't want to return there. Another incident we see of a distraction in the Bible, if you turn to 2 Corinthians 12, 2 Corinthians 12. Second Corinthians 12, 7 through 9. We know the story of Paul's thorn in the flesh, and we know that had to be a distraction to him. It had to be. We don't necessarily know exactly what his thorn in the flesh was, but we know that it was affected him enough that he prayed to Jesus to take it away from him three times. But you know Jesus' response. 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 9. Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, this is Paul speaking, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that I might leave me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. We notice here, just like in our lives, often these things can't be removed from our lives, but that are distracting to us. But God's grace is more than enough of us for us, excuse me, to overcome those distractions, to stay focused on him. Again, you notice he wouldn't take it away, but he promised he would help them with it. And so I think that's important for each and every one of us to realize in our lives that there are things that will distract us in life, but Jesus will always be there to help us through those things, to overcome those distractions. Another incident is Hebrews 12. Turn over to Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. We know the Hebrews was written to a group of Christians, the Jews, Jewish Christians, who had left Judaism and were now solely devoted to Christ. But they were facing persecution, and they were in danger of falling back to the other way, going back to the old way. It started looking enticing to them, just what we talked about a few minutes ago. The old way was starting to look pretty good to them. And the Hebrew writer told them exactly how to overcome those things, how to overcome persecution. Hebrews 12, verse 1 through 2. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God, the throne of God, excuse me. So how do you are you able to do this? You stay focused. Stay focused on Jesus. That's what the Hebrew writer told them to do, and that's what we need to do as well in our lives. Stay focused on Jesus, and you won't be distracted. So how do we keep our focus? How do we keep our focus today? Turn with me to 2 Peter verse 1. 2 Peter 1. And Peter was writing to the Christians who were going to be facing false teachers along the way. And that too would be a distraction for them as well. Absolutely be a distraction. 2 Peter 1, verse 1 through 15. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you would become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, in your moral excellence knowledge, in your knowledge self-control, and in your self-control perseverance, and in your perseverance godliness, and in your godliness brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about this calling, his calling, in choosing you, for as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. Therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them, and have been established in the truth which is present with you. I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by the way of reminder. I know that the laying aside of my earthly dwelling is imminent, as also our Lord Jesus Christ has made to me. And I will also be diligent that any time after my departure, you'll be able to call these things to mind. I want you to notice what Peter says in verse 3. Of course, we need to understand avoiding or overcoming distractions is something we can't do on our own. Notice what he says in verse 3 here. His divine power he has granted to us. We have to have the help of God to overcome these things. And again, that stays focused on him in Christ. Look at verse 4. In verse 4, for by these things he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises. One way to keep from being distracted is to focus on the promises that God has given us. All the true, precious things that lie in Christ. Stay focused on those promises. And as Peter talks about, he says remind here at the end of these passages of Scripture, 12 through 15, remind each other of those things. Remind yourself. Help each other. Verse 5 and verse 10. Notice he says, Verse 5, he says, now all this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith. In verse 10, therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent. It takes diligence on our part. It doesn't come naturally to every one of us. It takes work. It takes effort to stay focused on what we need to do to keep from being distracted. Verse 6, know what Peter says, and your knowledge, self-control. It takes a lot of self-control to help from being distracted. Again, I'm the world's worst at doing that. I could start out with one intention and end up a mile away in no time because I don't always exercise self-control. And I'm sure you all suffer from the same thing as well. None of us are impervious to distraction. Each and every one of us face it. But again, it's a matter of self-control. Verse 8, he says, increasing, growing. If you're focused on growing and focused on increasing your knowledge, again, of who Jesus is, you won't be distracted. Stay focused on those things all the time. And again, in verse 2, 3, 5, 6, and 8, Peter thought it was worth repeating, the knowledge of God and Jesus. As long as you have that knowledge and keep it in the forefront of your mind, you won't be distracted. You'll be able to keep your focus on him again, the promises and what he's given us. Verse 10, therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you, for as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. And to me, that means you'll never be distracted if you stay focused on what he said right here. All these things he's just listed for you to do. As long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. Again, we have to be with each other. We have a fellowship with one another to help each other, remind one another, and to pay attention, not keep score with one another. But when you do see somebody that's distracted or maybe going down the path they shouldn't be going, kind of maybe pull them to the side. Hey, everything okay? What's going on here? Because I need that as well, too. Ryan, on many cases, asked me, is everything okay with you? I mean, how often do we, when somebody asks us, hey, are you okay? Oh, yeah, I'm fine. There's been many a time when I'll have a conversation, Ron, see, everything okay with you today? Nah, it's not really. I'm going to be honest with you, it's not. So how often do we try to smooth things over by just saying, everything's okay, everything's fine, when in truth, we're not. And I think one of the important things as we go about and trying to keep from being distracted, I think the relationship building with each other helps as well. Again, we can recognize when somebody's maybe drifting off, going away they shouldn't go, but also being able to open up to brother or sister and dropping your pride and going to them saying, I'm struggling right now. I'm not where I need to be and I need some help. You know, I'd like for you to help me along the way. Again, that's in relationship building one another and trusting one another. How do we do all this? We mentioned fellowship. Be involved in each other's lives. Pray for each other constantly. When you do notice things going on with somebody, if you suspect they may have problems, there's something going on, pray for those people. And we mention this time and time again, but I'm going to mention it again. There are so many studies that are offered here for each and every one of us. So many studies. As you go about attending those studies, again, fellowshipping with one another, learning with one another, opening up to ideas about things maybe you never thought of before, there's so many things that are offered for us here, and I would ask each and every one of you to take advantage of those things because they're very beneficial for each and every one of us. And if you haven't, again, attended, I would invite you to, and everyone would be sure happy to see you there. So in closing, I know this has been short tonight, but I hope you've seen the distractions that the world does have to offer. There are many of them out there, as I said earlier. And again, none of us are impervious to those at all. We are all susceptible to being distracted. So let's none of us be foolish to think that we're not. So Jesus' own disciples and his apostles fell victim to being distracted by things. And Jesus had to rein them in. Jesus had to make them aware of that. And again, I'm sure that the apostles or the disciples who saw Peter walking across the water, they saw how he stumbled and what happened to him and why maybe he did become distracted by the noise around him, just like the noise in our life a lot of times, the things that outside the world that are very distracting to us. There's a lot of noise out there for us. So But in God's great wisdom, he has given us a way to overcome that. And it's Jesus. All the spiritual gifts that he is, that we need and has to offer are available in Christ. If we stay focused on him, we'll avoid being distracted and we'll be able to work better, be more efficient, and to grow in him each and every day. So maybe you're here this afternoon, maybe you've been distracted by life. Maybe you have not had your full focus on Jesus, on God, what he would have you to do, focused on his will. Maybe you're here tonight again and you've stumbled or you're struggling with those things. We're here to help you. So if you can help you in any way at all, please come forward while we stand and sing.